Greetings, my brothers and sisters. Sending gratitude to all of you who are joining in today to accompany us down the rabbit hole of self-exploration through plant medicines. My name is Ryan Sprague, and I'm here to tell you that your frequency is now set and tuned to explore psychedelic medicines and the impact they've made among the countless psychonauts exploring the last true frontier. Buy a ticket and take the ride with me as we get true firsthand accounts of the experiences, benefits, risks, and transformations taking place within the ever-expanding world of psychedelic medicines on This One Time on Psychedelics. Taking a break from his epic life journey to journey with us today is a man who has been one of my biggest inspirations this past year with regards to exploring different medicines, connecting deeper with my heart, and ultimately creating the life of my dreams. He is a medicine man in the truest of senses, having guided countless individuals in his home country of Mexico and sitting with sacred plant teachers, is a world-class coach where he has helped numerous individuals overcome obstacles in their physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health to become the truest version of themselves, and has the best and most warming smile and laugh this side of the Mississippi. So please help me in welcoming my man, Danny Rios, to the show. Danny, welcome, man.
How?
Yeah, I had to come correct with that intro. You know, I mean, you're such a prolific man. You know, I had to make sure that my shit was on point, you know, so.
Appreciate it, man. Of course, it landed. Man. Thank you so much for the beautiful words.
Guilty as charged, you know, as a wise man said. So, dude, you know, like I said, so happy to have you here, man. Anytime I can connect with you, I immediately feel your heart coming through, whether it's a computer, whether a phone call, in person. I'm like overwhelmed by just how much heart space I get into. And, you know, a point that I love starting at, especially with this podcast, because everyone listening to this has had their own journey with psychedelics, right? Even if they haven't tried them yet, they've gone from I don't know about them to maybe they're bad to maybe now they're like, ah, maybe they're good, right? So I'd love to hear your path of whether or not you were always open to them. If not, when you became open to them, what changed in your life around that time, et cetera. Where did you get started with your psychedelic journey, my man?
For me, I was very much a square bear. I didn't touch any substances, like even alcohol, till I was 24, and then started dabbling with cannabis when I was 27. And that's around the time I was about 2 years in running and operating my gym, and in this pursuit of, you know, being a savage businessman and learning and all the things, you get to a point where you realize, oh, I'm the creator of all my awesome results and all my problems. And somebody who you've had on the show, Mike Bledsoe, he's been a big mentor for me. And I went to a live conference where he was sharing his story with mushrooms and what that did for him. And like from hearing that, I was just so curious. And I just kept in my mind, like it was just drawing me to it. My partner at the time, I shared with her, like, hey, I want to do mushrooms. And we almost broke up over that, because to her, it was like, that's a drug. Like, you know, her family had had issues with substances, like with the law and whatnot. So it was something that it was, we wouldn't go there. But after like some time and getting more research and talking to her about the subject, she became open to it. And she guided me through my first ceremony. And it blew my heart wide open. Before that, I would hear about chakras and the yogic world and whatnot. And I felt like my heart opened up, and I didn't connect at the time. That was like my heart chakra that had opened up. And for about a month after, I would say a solid 2 weeks, I had like shivers and shakes, and I was just releasing so much. But yeah, that journey for me, it, you know, it's one of those things that day happens and your life never looks the same again. It showed me my heart. And from there, my life from then on, every choice like has ran through that. And it's been my guide to everything that I choose in life. It comes from the heart. So yeah, you know, where I was before that, I was very structured. Never, like when I played college football, I never missed a workout. Like I worked myself into pain. And I started realizing at that moment how much pain I had from my life and the choices I had made. You know, it's in the gym, I would push myself to pick heavy weights and punish my body because others accepted me. And when I realized that I just really needed to accept myself, I went into that self-love journey. And I didn't really touch psychedelics for a bit after that. But that's when I started realizing the power of personal development, you know, you call it spirituality as well, and the use of plant medicine with that. And little by little, I started using that on my own. I started doing journeys every 10 days, 15 days. And it was like the most healing, profound experiences I was having. I was connecting things in business, understanding things, breaking paradigms. And, you know, it got to the point where I would say my heart outgrew what I was doing at the time. I realized I could have a bigger impact in life. It was super profound. And with that, I became like the guy that people are like, oh, if you want to try this, go talk to Danny. And I invited like 10 of my gym members to my place, and I led them through a ceremony. I didn't realize I was leading people through ceremony. Well, we're just hanging out. Like, this is super amazing. Yeah. And then after that, people were just bringing me their friends to hang out and do this and do that. And every time I would improve on how I would go about leading somebody through a journey. And then I continued just going down that path, trying different medicines. I started exploring outside of mushrooms to Wachuma, to everything building up to going to Colombia to sit with ayahuasca, with what they call yahe, down in Colombia. And actually, this is where the audience won't be able to see it. That's where this tattoo came inspired from. It was a 4-day event, and each day, you know, we're peeling layers and the healing process is going, like, you're coming to terms. I remember on day two, I had like the biggest cry of my life. I was like howling to the sun. We do ceremony daytime there. And by the fourth day, after getting a lot of, came to terms with my entire life on day three, it showed me every difficult part of my life and how it's a beautiful gift now. And on the fourth day, Yahe was showing me how to work with the medicine. And every day I would like, oh, I would like take my hape, and I'm going to do hape today before sitting with Yahe. I should do it blindfolded. By the fourth day, I had like a whole setup. I had binaural beats. I had the blindfold. I had a satchel full of different things I was going to burn while I was doing ceremony. And in that journey, I had a ceremony with Yahe, and that I would work in this space, that I would support people in the journey. And something that the medicine showed me is like, dude, you're an immigrant to that country, and it taught you to be in any room. It taught you to, like, you know, be a chameleon and win people's trust and heart and build relationships. And when you build those relationships and you work with people with medicine, that's when the magic happens with the work that I do. It's once I know people much better, know more aspects of their life, I'm able to support them more, prep them for the ceremony and post ceremony. So I'm laying there underneath a tree where I've had all four of my journeys. And the medicine's telling me to get naked. So I just get butt naked, and like, I'm like, just like loving the medicine, loving myself, and made this promise that this is something that I would do in life to support people in that, because it was so powerful for me. And I didn't realize how easy it was for me to navigate those spaces until I remember when I was down in Colombia, a gentleman that had been there like 4 or 5 times for multiple day ceremonies. He's like, man, how long have you been here? Because I was helping translate and like supporting. The last day they had me do like rituals on people where we took them to the river and they threw their own piss in their head. And it was a whole thing. So the healers there told me like, dude, yeah, like you've been here before. They had visions of me. It was like a whole ordeal. You know, it was like this stepping into this world of plant medicine. And so, yeah, from there, I literally changed my Instagram handle for a year, the title on it. I guide leaders through transformative plant medicine experiences and ceremonies. And yeah, that started really my work heavier in this space where people were seeking out support. And like that year, I served over 40 people, mostly men too. It's, you know, once you start working in the space, you start realizing like who you're attracting. But yeah, over 40 men and a few women. And that's actually like, you know, what I do in my daytime job. I support coaches in the fitness industry, but to me, that's like what I call the end of my funnel. When I sit in ceremony with somebody, and I've got an opportunity to do that with different plants, different coaches that support people in different ways. And it's, to me, it's an honor to guide people safely and have an amazing experience from something that can go wrong. You know, if it can cause more trauma than it could heal. So it's one of those things that I was, it was like a whole hero's journey thing where I've done my work. I've worked with the medicines where I'm full circle. Now I can serve and support others in serving the medicine. And yeah, so that last year was the biggest year for me to support others in their plant medicine journey, path in life, and really how to work with this medicines, how to work with ceremony, how to take those aspects from that ceremony and integrate them into your everyday life with intention, with language. It's the coolest thing. Like when I'm in this space, I'm like, I can't believe this is like work, you know? And so, yeah, man, that, you know, that's been my journey in a nutshell. And I'm just curious, man, if I hear of a healer that I should sit with, I'll go out of my way, make it an effort to learn from them. And yeah, there's so many space in the world where we can find magic. And my goal is to, and what I'm doing, I go seek it out and then bring my friends over and share the medicine with them. The last thing that we did, invite some of my closest peeps to go down to Monterey, and we sat with Wachuma, what we like to call Ayahuasca Express, because that's what it feels like. Yeah, and 1 hour session, it feels like you've done multiple days of ayahuasca. And so, yeah, for me to and what the cool thing about it, we talked about Mike early on. I was able to introduce him to something he'd never had tried before, you know, and so it was, you know, coming full circle to that was really beautiful to see my brother go through a ceremony and have life-changing, you know, paradigm shifts for him. And that's what he's done for me when he like talked about mushrooms and all that stuff. So it's been beautiful, man. It's been, it's the space that I enjoy the most to be with, everything surrounding it, the people surrounding it. So yeah, it's a huge part of my life for sure.
Wow. You know, every time I hear that journey of yours, because I've sat with you quite a few times and chatted with you about your journey, you know, I learn more about you. And you know, I wrote down quite a few notes. And the first one being that, you know, you were talking about how after that first experience with mushrooms, it really allowed you to open up, right? And it's so interesting because I found that exact same thing. And really when I looked into it, what was really going on is that our consciousness itself is a psychic substance, right? Produced not blindly, but in living awareness of opposites, right? So what that means, as I see it, is your consciousness filters out what it thinks you don't need to survive. And that makes sense, right? It's a great aspect, but also it's important to realize that we're only seeing 4% of visible reality, right? And so 96% of what is here all the time, our consciousness is filtering out, right? For our safety. And that's all well and good. But as we open ourselves up, we're able to see more of that. And that, I feel, is one of the things we've lost from going from more tribal societies into what we now know as, like, you know, the world, right? You know, where we're very mind dominant, we're very left brain dominant as a society. And that isn't innately bad. However, the right brain is where all of our connection to source and all of these things come from. And so I found for myself, being able to connect deeper with the things around me, allow me to bring those things back if the integrated process is successful and integrate them into my normal waking state, right? So then when I go in meditation, now I can go to the places I go when I'm journeying on psychedelic medicines. And so, you know, that is something to me that has been so important and so valuable. And going off of that, I feel personally, or I believe, that the best experience we can give someone is the direct experience, right? And I feel as though this is where modern day religion has gone amok, right? Is that people stopped experiencing God firsthand, or source, whatever you want to call it, the universe, and they started reading about others who had. But the problem is, that these original stories that go back to like the days of Jesus, Buddha, whatever, have been modernized, right? And taken over by the winners, right? Of history. So like the King James version of the Bible, right? What is that? It's like basically someone going, well, we like these things, we don't like these things. And so it's gotten bastardized. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, that's why I feel with anything, right? Imagine trying to explain to someone what chili is like, right? You know me in food analogies, I always go back to food analogies. And so like, you're explaining to someone like, yeah, there's these things, beans in there and tomatoes, and it's kind of like a soup, but it's thick. It's like a stew kind of. And they're like, okay, I think I get it. Versus just giving them a bowl of chili and being like, figure it out for yourself. Right. And so that is something that for me, I always make sure in my coaching, in my work, that I'm just allowing people to try it out for themselves. Because as Paul Cech famously says, life is not an observation sport. And in the wise yeah. words of Joe Dirtè, right? You got to go, life's a garden, go dig it. Right. Like,
yeah.
And you know,
I like that.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, working yourself into pain, right? And a lot of people, you know, myself included for many years, might look at that and go, oh, that stinks. Or like, oh man, pain is bad, right? And really what I've learned about pain is that it's a teacher, right? Pain comes when some aspect of yourself, whether physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, is like, hey, enough. We're going to show you that something you're doing is not working right. And then what does normal society do? Oh, you have a headache. It's just an ibuprofen deficiency, right? Oh, your back hurts after working out. Just take some pain meds, right? And
you're sleepy, drink some coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And like, yeah. you know, Angela Sisco and I were having a conversation the other day and he's like, what the hell is so bad about being tired? Right. Why is everyone ashamed to be tired? Just admit you're tired and go take a nap. Right. Like, you know, like you don't need a second cup of coffee. You just need to go take a nap. And yeah. it's funny that like, as a society, we look down on things like being tired. Right. Because it puts into our worth. Right. Because really the way I see it is the way that most society views humanity is that you are worth what you put in a job, right? In work, mm-hmm. right? If you're working 16 hours a day, you're crushing it. Doesn't matter what your health is like. Doesn't matter what your relationships are like. Doesn't matter if you're a leader in your community. Doesn't matter if you're doing bad things otherwise, you're putting in and doing a good job because you're working 16 hours, right? Even if it's at a job in most people's cases that they don't enjoy, right? That they're driving through stressed out in a car they can't afford to go back to a house they barely live in, even though they can't afford it. All of these things, right, compound on one another. And one of the things that, you know, I wanted to chat with you with is your experience you were talking about you really having that strong cry, right? And this is something that, especially for men, I have found myself is very challenging, right? Like I had a lot of challenges getting myself to remember how to cry, right? And it's actually a pretty funny story of one that broke, but you know, I wanted to talk to you about like the idea that vulnerability is strength, right? And what you feel on that, you know, why do you feel vulnerability is strength? First of all, do you feel like that? I believe you do, but I'd like to hear your point of view on it. And if so, why do you feel vulnerability is strength?
I mean, just in general, in the aspect of emotions is, you know, you have to, I kind of see it like fitness in a way. In your humanness, to explore into everything that it is your emotional body and being okay with it and accepting it as is. I remember one of my first like speeches that I did in front of a bigger audience, I started sharing my story and I broke down and started crying. And I was able to maybe lasted about a minute where I was talking, you know, and the whole spiel and, you know, I was talking about sales and whatnot and like people gave me feedback on that. It's like, dude, that's so crazy that you were up there, you were sharing vulnerably and like were able to cry and get through it. And I became okay with being sensitive so that I didn't even realize that it was a thing for people that, you know, that it's okay to cry. You know, I've been in this space for a couple of years now where we're tapping into, you know, a lot of people talk about psychedelics or plant medicine is an out of body experience, but really it's your inner body experience. You just haven't been there and it feels out of body. And so I'm going to take it back to my first ceremony. That was like the most vulnerable I was able to share. And it is strength because some of those things are tough to like open up your heart or to share with somebody how you truly feel and do it often. Make it, you know, part of who you are. It takes strength. And this is why it takes strength, because to live a life from a space of love and to have access to that heart space, you got to go through your anger. You got to go through your sadness. You got to go through all the things that weigh you down and are heavy on you so you can access that love and vulnerability. And yeah, it's not something that it's a custom for us to do as a society, to share with others how we like feel, and not just in words and physical actions and all those aspects that we can love others. So yeah, vulnerability to me is honestly is even one of the sexiest things. You know, if I'm in partnership, vulnerability is what, like, for me makes the relationship sexy, you know, to be able to share, like have a good cry in bed. And it's just the most beautiful thing, because you see people's true rawness and you start seeing them as a complete human, and that we're not perfect, and that we have these emotions that are not the happiest, the prettiest, and we can be with it. And that's it. It will pass like anything else. And, vulnerability is, you know, I you can use it as simple, like when I do my coaching calls, the sales calls, when I first talk to somebody and I'll ask them, how's your day? How are you doing? They're like, oh, I'm doing good. And they'll ask me, how are you doing? And I'll go deep. I'm like, I just got off the phone with, you know, my family member, and I share these things, or I'm tired, whatever. And then I'll ask them right again, like, how are you doing? And they'll go a little deeper. Right. And it's invulnerability where we can understand more, because it allows us to be softer. It allows us to step into emotions and feelings that oftentimes get trapped. And when you're pumping those feel good hormones through being vulnerable and whatnot, it builds you up. You show up better in life. You are stronger. You're happier. You know, you wake up in the morning with energy. When like this morning, I woke up with a heavy heart. Me and my girlfriend had some discussions that made my heart a little heavy last night about exes, you know, those exes. And yeah, this morning I woke up with a heavy heart, and yeah, it's just energy that I had to be open and share. And this is what's happening for me, and I'm okay. Everything's okay. This will pass. And it's that vulnerability that allows me to have a stronger relationship, because now she understands, like, oh, this is where he's at. And it took this moment of strength to share what's truly happening. But I don't even think that it's, you know, really, it's not even strength. We're just not used to it. But it definitely strengthened our relationship, right? You and I have had vulnerable moments that strengthen our relationship. And you need strength to be able to share. You need to be confident in yourself to cry and be vulnerable and know that you're okay, and that it's okay to have this, like, human emotions. Like, it's okay to be tired. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. Because when you're with those emotions, you build a different relationship to them. And then you can show up differently in life from changing your relationship to those emotions. It's like, oh, I'm a little tired. Perfect. Nothing wrong with that. And it's what's tough to see is that we live in a society where that's not accepted. If somebody, you know, I love working for the Strong Coach, because we're in a personal development space. And I've had meetings where I'm in there, I'm like, guys, I got to go cry. Like, I can't be here. And they're like, dude, go do it. You know, they're supportive about it. You know, you do that with a big tech company, what are they going to tell you? You know, it's like,
go drink a coffee, you know, take an Adderall or something. Yeah.
Yeah. People won't even share those things. So, you know, overall for me, being vulnerable in life has strengthened the relationships in my life in every way. And really that's what, to me, that's a big reason of life. It's like the relationships we cultivate and build with others. You know, we don't take anything to the grave. And so it's in this, like, human experiences and sharing and connecting that, you know, how can you truly connect with somebody if you're not sharing all parts of you? You know, how can they really know you if you're not being your truest self? And part of your truest self is those pains, those things where you have to, like, overcome. And most of the things, so I grew up in the States as an illegal immigrant. And I was a U.S. citizen before I was able to tell anybody I was an immigrant. I was so ashamed of it. And for me, sharing it was so vulnerable. And people were like, dude, it's not that big of a deal. You know. But it was, when I share that with people, it allowed me to be more open with them, strengthen the relationship. And they were already good where they were at. You know, it really came from myself. So yeah, in this journey of plant medicine, it shows you ancient wisdom, universal wisdom, things that I imagine. Doesn't matter how much I dive into the space, I will never comprehend. It's just too much for our little vessels to understand. Really what it is, a lot of what I'm understanding more and more now, that what we're doing in that is spiritual healing. And it's you know, people talk about abs, people talk about being fit, people talk about being healthy, people talk about all those things, but you know, how's your spiritual health? You know, how's your heart? And that's a conversation me and my girlfriend all the time. Like, how's your heart today? Mm-hmm. And understanding each other, like, you know, how can we live our life from a heart-centered space? And yeah, man, vulnerability is sexy. That's where I'll finish that one.
You guys heard it here first. And, you know, I honestly agree with every single thing you said. And I wrote down some cool notes, which vulnerability is choosing to feel rather than avoid, right? And think about any other aspect in your life. Think about it this way, right? If you choose to feel a workout or go to a workout, go do this workout instead of avoid it, that could be perceived as strength in society, right? If you choose to go to your job rather than avoid it, that could be perceived as strength. So why is all of a sudden choosing to feel rather than avoid not strength, right? Like, it has to be strength, right? It's one of those has to be's, in my opinion.
It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, you talk about, like, I know many people that, you know, are like doing psychedelic journeys every single weekend, right? And really what I ask these people is like, hey, listen, is there something in your life that you're avoiding, right? Because life itself can be a psychedelic experience. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, try having a conversation like you have with your girlfriend, right? There's going to be like crazy moments where you're like wanting to puke. You're like, you're crying. Like, it's the exact same thing, right? So that's like a concept that I share with a lot of people. It's like, hey, maybe it's time to make life into a psychedelic experience, right? With no substances, no medicines, right? Because the medicine is us, right? We are the medicine. We are the vessel that allows the medicines to work through us. And really everything we're seeing, like you said, is something already inside of us, right? It's not an outer quest, it's an inner quest. And the faster we can discover that, mm-hmm. the less journeys we're going to quote unquote need, right? And then when it calls to us, we will go there for a specific reason, right? Rather than just using it unconsciously. And that's big in a lot of different medicines, right? Especially cannabis, you know, that's what the program I'm creating right now is all around. And, you know, something you were talking about too, reminding me of, I don't know if you've heard that song, Good. I don't know if it's actually called Good, but it's like Jocko Willink. And it's basically like this like electronic song. And it's like him talking about like, you got a divorce? Good. Like, you got fired from your job? Good, right? Just thinking everything in life is happening for you, not to you, right? And you know, it's the same thing with like these conversations that we have, right? It's like, oh, you had a heavy conversation with your girlfriend? Good, right? Like, awesome. Because what's, mm-hmm. in my opinion, not good is avoiding those things, because they don't just go away. They build up and then you're going to explode, right? It's like a volcano, right? The pressure's got to go somewhere. And a mm-hmm. lot of times it goes to, in my case, it went to my head. I had headaches every day for like a year and a half. Not enjoyable. Would have been much easier to just cry it out and get it over with. And you know, like, the ancient Egyptians have this whole image, right, that we've taken so literally in our left brain society, of like the heart being weighed against a feather, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, if your heart is heavier than the feather, then you're going to go to what we perceive as hell, right? Which really mm-hmm. is, in my opinion, hell is the state we're going to be in if we choose to not look at the things that allow us to become stronger, right? It's not actually a place you go, but we've made it literal, right? Because again, when the ancient Egyptians were around, they were much more right brain dominant. And then you saw with like the times of Romans coming, all these big structures being built in these bigger societies, that was more transitioning to the left brain. So really, as I see that heart analogy, it's, hey, did you leave things unsaid, right? Like you were saying, we don't take anything to the grave, right? That is how your heart ends up lighter than a feather, right? Because people are like, well, that doesn't make any sense. A heart weighs way more than a feather. It's like, yes, if you're looking at it literally, right? But they spoke in parables, right? And symbols, right? And that's that one of the main challenges I feel with like reading things like the Bible or reading any of these ancient texts is those were humans that were at a different spot in evolution, right? They were much more right brain dominant and much more connected to nature. And yeah, so
different stages of consciousness.
Exactly. Exactly. And once again, like that's what's so amazing about these medicines is for people that are in society of today, right? Left brain dominant, you know, they can experience and open themselves up to a different way of living, right? A different consciousness, right? And as Ramdas says, you know, how no matter how enlightened you are, you still need to take out the trash, right? So you can still go to your job, you can still crush it, right? You can still climb the ladder if that's what you want to do. But make sure it's what you want to do, right? Make sure it's not what your mom wants you to do or your dad wants you to do or what society wants you to do. Because if you end up living your life with someone else in mind, you're going to end up living a life that's not fully lived. And one of the things that I also got downloaded when you were talking is that what you get when you experience psychedelic medicines or just really even sober states with a tribe that you really love is you start to understand and knowing, right? And you were talking about how it's almost too much for our little vessels to figure out, right? And the way I look at it is it's like opening the door to a rave, right? And just looking in and then closing it, right? Could you remember every single thing you saw? No, but you'd be like, it was fun in there, right? And that's all you need to remember, right? But again, the left brain wants to list everything out. Well, there was lights and there were these different colors and blah, blah, blah. But really, it's just you went into this environment, you had a great time, you hopefully pull back the memories, which is like, I felt connected, I felt loved, and those things are always inside of me. And one of the things I wanted to chat with you about is really something we've been skating around this whole time, right? Which is the idea of rituals, right? And this is something that every tribal society has. And it's one of the things that I feel is lacking in today's modern society a lot, right? These rituals, right? And so therefore the new rituals have become going to the pub or doing these things, which are not innately bad, right? But, you know, understanding what they really are, which is a ritual, can help people understand like, okay, cool. Like, does that ritual work for you? Awesome. Stick with it. If you're having a good time and you're seriously fulfilled with that, do it. But I'm curious what you feel the importance of rituals are. Like, why do you feel every society, every tribal society, every ancient society had so many rituals, like the seven directional prayer, right? And blessing things and prayer and all of those things. What do you think that represents?
You know, the way I think of rituals is a habit. It's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so we can set intentional habits, intentional rituals to tap into things that we can understand. Tap into the spiritual world, tap into intentions. It's to me, it's a, you know, we could get in the habit of like working out, you know, three times a week, right? That's a ritual to work on this physical body. But we're talking more about the spiritual side of things. What it allows you to do is to connect to spirit, connect to other spirits, connect to your own spirit, connect to your own soul. And it's little things that you do, right? And one of the things I have and a lot of my buddies have is an altar. What the altar represents to me, you put things on there to support you in your journey. And what these rituals do, just like fitness does, like working out three times a week, it's allowing you to strengthen your body, to be healthy, to live a long life. And what the rituals for me, it depends, and I have a lot of different things that I do. It allows me to like strengthen my spirit, to open up my heart, to remind myself what I'm choosing in this life. And so when, so I'm pretty much feeding my conscious brain, these things are not that, that I may not fully understand, but yet, have been guiding me in my life. And, I've dabbled with, a bunch of different things and really what it is my experience is you try all these different things and then start coming up with your own rituals that work for you to go through certain experiences, like, you know, grounding yourself. You know, if I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, I sit down, take a couple of breaths, use some hape and beat my drum. And I just sit there and beat my drum. And that's a little ritual that I do. You know, every morning I wake up, I'll burn some sage, move my joints. And I love waking up early before like anybody and like have this quiet moment to be with myself, to check in with myself. Like, what do I need? That's how I knew my heart was heavy this morning. And it was because I was able to like have this quiet moment, sit with it and like notice that something was happening. And so I get to go move this energy. And so I go through my process of things that I know that open up my heart and I show up better. And so this is how like rituals, this is how an altar, this is how, you know, things that you do can help you in your journey, in your spiritual path and the things that are outside of this like social structures that we've created. You know, one of my favorite rituals that I love to teach, and I got this from another medicine man who I sat with a bunch of coaches. We took them to down in San Diego, the whole bracelet thing that I know is something you adopted. Yeah. So right now I'm wearing the bracelet on my right hand. And so on the left side, we have, you know, it's connected to the heart, is a feminine side, the receiving side. And, you know, I have this beautiful lady tattoo here to remind me, this is that, you know, and I'll put the bracelet on my left hand when I'm in a place of receiving and I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm receiving. Cause we get so you know, so much in the left brain that we have to do. Mm-hmm. And this little ritual, this little ceremony of having this bracelet on my left hand, it's like, I look at him. Oh yeah. I got to take in more, instead of saying, yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do that. It's like, no, what do I need? And one, I'm feeling in the space of like, yeah, I can give, I put it on my right side. And now it reminds me like, oh yeah, I'm in a good place to give. And so it allows me to check in with myself. So this is how these rituals work. They're reminders there. It helps us navigate things that, you know, it's much easier to, like you, to understand a workout because we can see it. We can see the physical results if somebody eats well, trains well, but you know, nobody's checking in with their heart. Nobody's checking in with their emotions. Like, how is that doing? And so a little simple like that, a little simple ritual like that, like wearing a bracelet has been super transformative for me. It's so simple, but now I can choose in life based on where my current state is, and allows me to check back in on how my current state is. So yeah. And that's just one of many rituals, right? Like you talked about the seven directional prayer and what that does to like open up a container or close a container. And so a lot of these ceremonies, rituals that we've done throughout time just get lost. And like what I love to do is like, for example, in the US, unless you're tapped into like Native American cultures and that kind of stuff, people are not, they never see it. So for me is really fun to show people this other ways of connecting through other cultures. You know, it's like I can take you down to us and do some what we call danza, which is native dances and something that people have been doing for a long time and their culture is still alive. And your spirit will navigate that journey. And it doesn't have to be part of your ancestry. Like a spirit is spirit. It doesn't matter if I'm brown, you're white. You know, we get into this space where people talk about like, you know, should Ryan be serving this like ancient tradition? Should he be doing that? Absolutely, man, because spirit has no freaking color. Spirit is just spirit, man. And so, yeah, it's this daily rituals, these ceremonies, they're just habits. I see them as habits for the soul. Yeah, they've been super powerful in my journey because I'll have things up that remind me of like, oh yeah, I got to call my mom and tell her I love her. You know, it's like, oh, I remember this like one thing that's on my altar, that this experience that I had with this person. And so, it allows me to continue connecting my heart, my spiritual world into this reality, which we live in. So yeah, rituals and all that is something that I recommend people do, and make it your own, make it your own. You know, try what others are doing. At the end of the day, make it your own. That's actually one of the biggest things that a friend, she served me hape and she like did some like things to my face. I'm like, oh, nobody's ever done that before. And she was like, you know, at the end of the day, you just gotta like make things your own. And so for anybody listening, if you're looking for some support in the spiritual side of things, is look into rituals. I guess I would call it this ritual spiritual habits is what we do. And yeah, man, it's we're creatures of habits, we're creatures of repetition, and we get used to this thing. So yeah, people talk about, you know, there's their back squats, how much you're lifting, you know, and there's no way to measure this unless we have more language and capacity to do so. So, and rituals help for that.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. And, you know, I was just writing a note because what you just described, right, is once again, this left brain, right? It only believes in what can be measured. But yet, what I always ask people that are like, you can't measure that. It's like, oh, well, can you measure love? Right. It's like, well, no, you can't measure how much you love someone.
Well, but how much do you love me?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can say this much, you know, yeah. Great minds think alike, or great hearts feel alike, as I like to translate that. And I feel as though for anyone who's listening, who might be coming up against this opposition, right? Maybe with their parents, whatever, a great question to ask, because most people believe that love exists in some way, shape or form. They love the partner, they love the pet, they love something. Right. And so ask them like, well, okay. Yeah. You know, if you can answer this question, then I'll totally believe your side. How much do you love me? Can you measure it? Like, can you actually give me the mathematical formula that shows how much you love me? Right. And these things are qualitative in nature, right? Where the left brain wants quantitative things, right? It wants things that are measurable. And yet, because things are qualitative in nature does not, negation of knowledge, mean they do not exist, right? So like we think again about, you know, things like things that are not measurable, right? Like energy qualities, right? Like I'm learning biogeometry right now. And, you know, you can't measure how much vertical negative green in the mathematical formula is in a room, but you can detect it, right? You can see that it's there, right? And there are so many things like this in society that I feel people are boxing themselves in with. And really what we're talking about here is with these rituals, with psychedelics, with all of these things we're chatting about, we're gaining awareness, right? And awareness is the first step in any evolution, right? Awareness, acceptance, release, right? And it's funny because one of the things I've noticed is that once again, the direct experience, right? Like people are so quick to put these things off, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, experience it for yourself and see what you want to come up with, right? Because I feel as though, especially right now, right, with everything going on in the world, so many people are so quick to hear something and go, yep, that's it. And then they just regurgitate that fact, right? And how do you know that's coming from an actual place of what we call truth, right? Mm-hmm. And what even is truth? Because we have 7.5 billion different truths in the world, right? 7.5 billion different realities. And, you know, one of the things I'm really curious about is how your relationship, your connection with psychedelics have allowed you to shape a new reality for yourself, right? Because I feel as though one of the epidemics or pandemics we have right now, if you want to talk about a real pandemic, is depression, anxiety, mental health, right? And what I see those things as, having been someone who's been challenged with anxiety for most of my adult life, is a narrowing of reality. So then all of a sudden, then it doubles down, because if you go to therapy or something like that, there's a lot of great therapists out there. I'm definitely not dissing it, but a lot of times what can happen is you get put into a box. Oh, you have generalized anxiety disorder. So now you are going to fit into this category in life. These are the things you might experience. This is the medication you need. And that's about it, right? So then they're shaped into this reality. And one of the things I feel psychedelics are best at doing is a pattern interrupt, right? So for someone like myself, right, I'll use myself as an example and speak from personal experience. I believed I would have anxiety the rest of my life. And so I believed I couldn't drive on highways. I never thought I could have a podcast. I mean, that was just like, that was top tier level of like, no, I can't even do that. I never thought I'd be working with people. You know, all of these things became my reality, right? And ultimately, I allowed it to, right? It's not society's fault, it's not anyone's fault except mine, right? That being said, though, the first time I started experimenting with cannabis when I was 19, really experimenting, I had, you know, taken a hit, didn't inhale, you know, Bill Clinton, shout out. But when I first started actually connecting with it in a way where I was I was really connecting with it, I started having, you know, little insights, right? And I had no guidance on what I was doing. So some experiences would be great, some would be like terrifying, would almost double down my anxiety. The first time I did mushrooms, I was, you know, very fortunate that I had done enough research. I was very much into health, so I wanted to do it in the right set and setting. I learned what that was. I learned what intention was. And I went into it and I did a very low dose. You know, I wanted to tiptoe in, and I experienced a fully different reality, one in which my anxiety did not exist, right? Because I went past the working mind, right? And the working mind is where anxiety exists. Beyond that is pure love, right? And pure potential, I should say, right? What I created from that pure potential in this experience was love, but it's pure potential. And that's, you talked about that before, that like these experiences, these medicines can lead to a lot of trauma, right? Which is why it's important to make sure you're not doing them recklessly, right? And not doing them unconsciously. But luckily, I was fortunate enough to have done research, did it consciously, and experienced what my life would be like without this anxiety. And I realized the anxiety was just something I was focusing on. And so I'm curious, you know, what you feel is the importance slash also the ability for psychedelics for someone like me to redo their reality, to give them another insight, right? It's almost like you've been watching one channel your whole life, and all of a sudden someone's like, you know, there's more channels on this TV, right? And you're like, what? No, there's not. And they slip it and you're like, oh my God, I don't have to watch that channel anymore. So I'm curious what you have to say about that.
Yeah, it's the life that I live today, you know, I couldn't even imagine it. You know, a lot of it has been through really my own healing through the use of plant medicine that has shown me a whole different reality. For me to, you know, I grew up as an illegal immigrant in the States and saw my parents like work their ass off to like make ends meet, to have like the bare minimum. But we still live like very happy, beautiful lives. And you know, being able to like step into this world where it's showing you things that don't make sense, like follow your heart and let that be your guide. It's very logical to what my mission in the state was, to live the American dream. And so for me, I was able to like accomplish that, like at 27, I was working like very little, and actually goes back to the conversation about the left side, right side, like societies that we've lived in. And so I came very much from the left side. Like I didn't believe in a higher being. I didn't believe it was like, if I couldn't measure it, if I couldn't see it, it was not real. And what breaking that pattern, seeing other possibilities, allows you to be a more integrative human. So what I mean by that is, you know, you have this like the left side, the corporate world, the very structured world. It works. It's very powerful. It dominates. It has the majority of power and resources in the world. And then we have the other side, you know, the free flowing, the hippie side, the spiritual side. And they're in battle. You know, it's like you talk to people who run corporations, who are into that world, who are into it, they'll judge like those hippies who are all just out there just smoking pot, you know, like wasting their lives away, melting their brain. And then you see the hippie side, they're like, oh, fuck the corporate world, you know. And so for me, like one of the biggest things that I support people with is become integrative into both. We need both. It's like taking what's good from this very structured, right or wrong, you know, no gray in the middle, just right or black and white, and merging it with the free flowing, the spiritual side of things, and taking people to a new state of consciousness where we can utilize all these tools to create your own reality, create new systems in the world that allow you to have different results of how this reality looks. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things that we do for the Strong Coach is, yeah, we bring in this like very, this is how you do business. That's very like structured. Yet we want to tap into like people's visions, you know, what they want to create. And if they hang around long enough, we'll sit through like a ceremony to like, you know, really change everything even more. It helps you just connect the right and left brain hemispheres to work together. And so for me, that's the reality that I want to live into, where it's stop fighting against each other and really just like learn from one another and accept one another and, you know, make it better, make it more productive to society, create more harmony. And so, yeah, that's been my experience with that is once you're able to have this interrupt in your own patterns, is because that could leave you in a very empty space. All right. And so it's being able to integrate your experiences and learning from society. And really what I've noticed for me, I had to do that for myself first, for me to be able to support others in that process. So yeah, one of the messages or downloads I like to call them as well, when I sat with Yahe, was heal, empower, create, and I added together at the end. Right, it's like you first have to heal before you can empower yourself, right? It's like, think about like if you're trying to build like a heavy deadlift, but your hamstrings are jacked up, you got to heal your hamstrings first before you can build some strength around it. So heal yourself, empower yourself. And then really that's when you can create in life and create a new reality, create new systems, create a new business. And really this, in this like world of creation, for if people want to get started with this, look into forgiving your creators, the people that gave you life, because once you can be with like the things that they taught you, the things that maybe were missing, and accept that and love that, you can really create in life. You can really come to terms. So it's this first has to happen to self for this to expand to a more universal view on the impact you could have in the world. So yeah, it's, and you know, we've seen a lot of this in, and people talk about it in different ways. Like we have the chakra system, and then we have other systems like spiral dynamics that are showing people, like, to me, I see it like consciousness, spirituality are all like tied in, right? So as much as it's like the oxidative system and the muscular system, like they work hand in hand. And so it's becoming an integrated human, and more than anything, becoming an integrated man, because the masculine is in so much pain, you know, so much pain. So, but I can only see all those things once I was able to change my own reality, like my internal reality with my emotions, with my brain, my heart mind connection, and integrate all that to do things differently.
Dude, you brought up so many good points there. And you know, the theme that I was feeling from what you said, and also that I agree with heavily, is inclusion rather than exclusion, right? So like, for instance, we have a lot of people, and I was one of these people for a while, right? So I want to mention that first, that all Western medicine's complete bullshit. It's all Eastern medicine that, you know, that's preventative, right? And like, that's great. But what if you get in a car accident, right? Are you going to go meditate? Like, probably not, right? Maybe there's some super high up yogi that could heal his leg like that. But for most of us, this whole divide and conquer thing has been put into us since kids, right? Playing sports, right? Our team versus their team. And really, if we are looking to heal the planet, looking to heal every single individual, we're all human beings, right? And this is one of the things I love about, there was an ancient Indian tradition, right? Where children were not really taught anything until they were 12 years old. And they were allowed to just be a kid, go wander. They weren't taught to read or anything, because reading keeps them more in the left brain. They wanted to be fully in the right brain. They wanted their children to be there. And then at 12, they were given the option to go to school. And if they were to go to school and start training their left brain, then what they were tasked to do is expand their consciousness and their view of reality to one of a global one in nature. So what that would look like is they would now be a global citizen, right? So if they saw someone who was black from Kenya, it's like, hey, brother, sister, right? Like, we're all humans, right? There's no separation. Mm-hmm. And when you think of it like that, it makes it much harder for people to fall into this whole, divide and conquer, us versus them type thing. Oh, I'm going to do this to their country because, you know what, my country comes first. It's like, no, we're all humans here, right? We're all humans having a human experience, and we're all brothers and sisters. And that, I feel, is one of the best things and best standards of a healthy society or an unhealthy society, right? And you look at politics, you look at all these things, really, they're just big thirst traps, you know, like, they're really just ways for people to start expending energy and attention, right? Because what is all this social media marketing? Everything run on, it's attention, right? So they want your attention. They get you roped into it, and they get you into fear. So then you can, once again, divide and conquer. I love what you were talking about healing first, right? Paul Check talks about this a lot, and it's something that I do in all of my, with all my clients, and also in the programs I create, which is the I, the we, and the all. First, take care of your eye, right? Make sure you're healed, right? Go back to your mother and father. Make sure all your trauma is being dealt with. Make sure you're feeling into your emotions. Make sure you're allowing them to pass through you like a flowing faucet rather than a clogged faucet. And then from there, you have the opportunity to create a we, right? Okay, who are my brothers and sisters that are my ride or dies, right? And then from there, once you have that established and you feel supported, right? And what that might look like also is, with everything wild going on in the world right now, there's a lot of opposition to people that are talking about the things we're talking about right now. How dare you talk about these fucking things, blah, 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 right? So if you don't have a we to support you, you're going to start feeling crazy, right? You're going to go out there and face a lot of opposition, and you're not going to feel like you have like a leg to stand on, right? But if you have that we and you feel supported, you can then have a deflector shield in front of you that you know who you are. You know who you love, right? Who you're supported by, right? You remember who and what you truly are, which is pure unconditional love. And then when you go out into the world and you face the all, you can come with compassion and sincerity and understanding that, hey, this is where these people are at. I'm going to show them love, because really, at the end of the day, love is the best medicine, right? So maybe that love could look like, hey, we can agree to disagree, right? I still love you. Like, this is a problem that I feel, or a challenge rather, that a lot of people fall into family. It's like, oh, you know, my mom or dad doesn't agree with this, so I can't talk to them anymore. It's like, well, no. Or even the one we see in coaching a lot, hey, you're the collection of the five people who spend the most time with, so cut people out of your life. And it's like, the first part of that was true, right? You are the collection of the people you spend the most time with, right? However, there are lots of people in my life that are not into spiritual development, not into plant medicines, right? But I can still go have a great game of Frisbee with them. I can still talk to them. Like, you know, excluding people rather than including just leads to more of the same, right? And if we are to become the medicine, right? If we are to make ourselves the medicine that heals the world, then we must fall out of this cycle of just getting ourselves caught in dogma of like, oh, well, I'm doing it differently. You know, my development matters. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to spend time with people who don't agree with every single thing I say, because it's important that I stay on my mission. Like, I get it, right? I've fallen into that too. But what I've realized is that when you take yourself less seriously and you realize like, hey, I'm supported by a we, I can go into a relationship that, you know, is not super toxic. Like if you have someone who's physically abusive to you or just like really wrecking you, like, yeah, leave that person behind, right? But I'm talking like, say if you're on a spiritual journey and you hang with a friend who's been a great friend with you for a long time, right? And they don't necessarily believe in a higher power. Cool, right? You guys can still go bike ride together, do whatever you want. And that's one of the things that I feel is the biggest misnomer in personal development, right? And we take it super left brain, you know, and it's part of the lone wolf syndrome too. And that's one of the other things that I feel psychedelics are so good for, is making you feel included in the all, right? You are an integral piece of the all, right? You are not the all and you're not separate from it. You are part of it, right? And this whole illusion of separation is something that you want to talk about, something that's led to more wars, more death, more casualties, more negativity, more hurt, more pain than anything. It's this illusion of separation. And again, it's because in my mind, one of the biggest reasons anyway, I won't say it's fully because of this, is because people stopped having that direct experience and started reading about it, right? So then they go, yeah, it's Christianity that's right and Hinduism that's wrong, or it's Hinduism that's right and Christianity that's wrong, right? And so it's, again, this divide and conquer. It's like a sheep in lion's clothing, rather, right? Mm-hmm. So like they think, oh, this is different because I believe these people. But at the same time, it's the same thing, just spin a different way, right? Yeah, maybe you see it in politics, but you don't see it in religion, right? But it's the same, but different, right? And one of the things I wanted to chat with real quick is the opportunity we have with psychedelics, if done properly, consciously, responsibly, to allow us to experience being connected to everything around us, being connected to nature, allowing us to re-member who and what we truly are. And I know that's something you've experienced, and some, one of the reasons that you come with such a full heart to everything, because you know that when you see me, I am merely a reflection of you. We are mirrors. Our skin color doesn't matter. Our heritage does not matter, right? It's all based on, you know, really the fact that we are all living sentient beings, and we're all in general fighting for the same thing, right? Which is to survive and live a life worth living. And so I'd love to hear your take on, you know, psychedelics and being able to allow us to become part of that all again.
Yeah. It is actually, cause we sat with what, Changa just a few days ago. When was this? Friday. And this was the first powerful psychedelic experience for my girlfriend. Like, she's never really like done this. But you know, you hang around me long enough, we'll
guilty as charged, we'll
venture into the unknown. And she reminded me of something that I experienced in my first mushroom ceremony, where now that I've had multiple experiences, like, is this understanding that we are all one, right? This is like you are me, I am you, and we all, you know, come from the same protons, neutrons, and electrons to build like who we are. And she was saying she was in a space where it was like, oh, like people were waiting for me to get here. And it felt like others have been here before. And I remember feeling that experience with mushrooms. I don't know if you ever had that, like it happened my first time. I'm like, whoa, I feel that when I'm in this space, like I can see others that have been here. I can feel them in this space. And so really, like, I didn't understand it like immediately, but it's showing you this like oneness in life, in this world, that we're all just essentially one. And a lot of things that happen in the psychedelic experiences, so much is happening that is it can be challenging for you to grasp what is happening. Like, we could only, we're only going to be able to take what we need, but there is so much more. There is so much more that you could dive deep into if you have the physical and emotional capacity to go there, because some of these medicines are tough. Like, you know, when I sat with Changa this past Friday, is my second time sitting with it, It had me on my chest, spitting out mucus everywhere. And my girlfriend's over here giggling, having the like best time of her life. And I kept going because I knew there was more for me to clear out. And it's uncomfortable and it's really painful. Like it's physically uncomfortable. It's emotionally uncomfortable. But I have the capacity to be with it. Like I know I can physically and emotionally and spiritually. And so it's in these spaces that you can navigate these spiritual energetic principles that we may not be able to experience in this reality. And so when we're able to go into this space and like use this as tools in life to continue show, like I've seen how I'm going to die. You know, I've seen how my life looks and it's very beautiful. And what that has allowed me to do is to live my life more present, more fully, right? I honestly don't think we ever get there. And I honestly don't think I could live my life like fully with an open heart. You have to maintain that. It's like exercise, like health. You have to put yourself in these states for you to continue deepening your work with it. So like for me, when I work with people, it's for me to teach them how to use this like things for themselves, like as a tool going on forward. It's the most beautiful thing when somebody that I sat through a ceremony with went through their own journey. They're like, I went through ceremony last night and this is what I got from it. Thank you so much. You know, type deal. And I'm like, I had nothing to do with that. They did it on their own, but yet now they know how to like, I call it like, it's time to reconnect. You know, like the medicine calls you, the medicine calls you when it's time to reconnect and plug back in to whatever it is. Different medicines take you different places, right? You want to connect more to your feminine side. There's medicine for that. You want to connect more to your masculine side. There's medicine for that. You want to get grounded. There's plant medicine for that. So understanding these different energies and experiences that the medicines can give you can really help you access the states of we, the states of us. And really to access that, you got to like really get with I. And come to terms with I and be cool with I. It's going to be too much to grasp if you haven't come to terms with that. You know, I remember after we took like 20 coaches in the fitness industry, like some of the top coaches, we went down to a retreat center where we all sat with Wachuma. And the big realization for me there is like, my problems are so little. Like the things that I consider problems are really not problems. Like I have solutions for them. I stopped worrying about those things and started looking at like problems that we have in society and really seeing like this systemic approach and how it's like affecting so many people. You know, one of the things that we see in the States is why there's so much mental health problems here is because we live in nuclear societies. People are disconnected. They're connected to their phones, to their work, to not what life is about, at least in my eyes, you know, which is life, your own life. Like, you know, it's
agreed.
People live to work. And yeah, it's with this medicines that you could tap into this stuff and explore things beyond your comprehension. And the more you do it intentionally and integrating your life, you can go back and sit with those medicines and receive more. Because if you go through a plant medicine experience and you get visions, you get downloads and you go about your life and don't integrate those visions, those downloads in it, you're going to go back and probably see a lot of the same again. Might look a little different, but still deal with the same stuff. So it's really, people live in tribal societies. They had a healer in the tribe that helped with rite of passages, helped with spiritual healing and whatnot. So it's something that is lost in tradition now. You know, we just don't have it. Like people are disconnected, they're separated, they're lonely, they're sad, and there's we don't have those spaces for us to do those things. And with plant medicine, when you start hanging out with these people, they understand this and they'll include you into that, into their hearts, into their life. And you know, one of the big things that when I met you, like right away, I knew we clicked. You know, it's like, and a lot of it was because of you ventured and I, like somebody who has done like psychedelic mushrooms, you know, it's going to be a whole different conversation. Who's actually like taken something from it? You know, it's they're just a different human. These tools are here for a reason. It's been passed down through so many different tribes for hundreds and thousands of years. Since we can look back at early stages of human, this stuff have been here for us to use. So it's like anything, let's use it consciously because some of this medicines, we can use them to extinction. And so it's using them, like for me, I rarely go on big journeys. I do it more like as a group now. I've done so many like solo journeys that I feel very complete unless I feel something, a medicine's calling me to get into and reconnect. As people continue going down their journey, they'll build their own relationship with those medicines and what they can do for you, and support you on your journey. Because there's, you know, I think about something, wonder about all the things we haven't tried that are sitting in the middle of the ocean.
You know? Like, yes.
It's a very beautiful space to heal yourself and expand beyond you. And really, to me, that's where like life happens is in this inclusion of all of us and focusing on the things that you actually can have an influence in, and you know, not worrying about things you can't do. And the understanding that in this state and taking that into a ceremony, you're able to use these tools of breath work, of language to reconstruct your life, reconstruct your reality, you know? And so when people go on this journey, they'll know when to reconnect. Like you take that essence of the medicine forever. It's forever with you. And really what, like you said earlier, it's just showing you access to what's already in you. And what is possible. And once my first experience that what I can create and what I can do in life through the energy of the heart and what that creates, man, it's there's nothing better. So I forgot what the original question was, but
dude, that was incredible, man. And I came up with some really cool things. Number one, you know, you were talking about how this feeling you get sometimes when you do psychedelics, you're like, I've been here before, right? Like there's people that are waiting for me. Well, I've had that many times. And the last time I had it was this morning. And there was no psychedelics in my system whatsoever. I used DMT from the tap, right? From that DMT breathing series that I, you know, we did together in Austin that blew us up, man. Holy crap. Yeah. Like for anyone listening, if you ever want to see what DMT is like without ever having to interact with it endogenously, like without side of yourself and interact with it endogenously, 10 deep breaths with a hold and squeeze at the end and watch what happens. It's pretty interesting. So I have this morning ritual where I get up around 6:37. I go out right outside. I get myself into the sun and I do breath work, right? And this morning, and this has happened a couple, it's kind of been an experience that's been growing, right? Like every time I do it. And the reason I like to get right outside, right, is because what I've found is that, and this is a hypothesis, maybe someone that I have on can tell me if it's true or not, but I feel that if DMT is released when we're dreaming, right, which is kind of the going hypothesis, then if you wake up and you go to do breath work right away, you already have DMT floating through your system. So the experience can be a little stronger, right? And so I go outside, I do a round of breath work. I'm actually doing Wim Hof style. And so there was no squeeze, but I do like a, you know, 30 breaths and a big hold, right? You know, so I start fading out, everything starts turning black. And I literally go to this area where there's like hundreds of children around me, like hundreds of children, right? And they're all staring at me, like legitimately staring at me. And I could see the colors of their shirts. I could see everything, right? It was kind of like, it wasn't like crystal clear, but I could just tell like these are humans. They're like in these colored shirts. They're all around. And so the experience lasts 10 or 15 seconds, as anyone who does breath work and has gone out there knows. But it's funny because you think 10 or 15 seconds. Well, the funny thing is you escape the illusion of time when you're journeying like that. So it actually feels much longer. So I came back in feeling all of these feelings all over my body. And I came back in thinking there were hundreds of people around me, right? Like, and I've done this plenty of times to know that's not like innately true. However, is it not true, right? Or are they actually around me, but my consciousness is filtering them out because they're not necessary for survival, right? And so that was a very interesting experience where, again, like I've had that experience hundreds of times now with breath work or with psychedelics where I've felt people around me, right? And you can call these spirit guides, you know, you can call them whatever you want, but you know, there is this presence. And for anyone listening, there is a direct feeling. Like maybe you can imagine a time where you turned a corner and you thought someone was there. There's a visceral feeling in your body where you think there's a human. You can feel their energy, right? And then all of a sudden they're not there, right? So it's a visceral feeling that's deep in my body when I think, or when someone actually is around me, or when I think they're around me. And so I came back very confused in a way, because I had had that feeling washing over me, like hundreds of people are looking at me. And then I came to and it was just me, and there's just birds singing and the sun's hitting me. And I'm like, whoa, that was cool. And I always come back like just laughing so hard, because, and I know this was something that was happening to both of us when we kind of discovered this together in Austin. And we were all wondering, why do we come back laughing? And I've thought a lot about that question, right? And what my hypothesis is on this is, you come back laughing because you realize that death is actually the easiest process of life. Like the easiest part of life is dying, right? Because what do we think of death as, right? Well, if you're looking at it in the left brain point of view, you think of it as the ceasing of everything, the putting out of a candle flame, right? That's it. You're done, right? That's it. And it is, right? In a way, it is the death of the ego, the self, right? But what is past the self, right? What is spirituality based on? What are all these things based on? The infinite that does not die, right? That does not cease to exist, actually expands. And that's the translation I have for death. In my opinion, right? In my reality, people don't die, they expand, right? Because when we're in our human body, we are constricted in a lot of ways, right? It's an incredible experience, but you know, we are the illusion is that we're separated from the all, right? That's like the big cosmic giggle. But when someone actually passes on, they're actually expanding into the all, right? And so I feel that the reason you come back laughing is because you realize, as Ram Dass says, you know, death is like taking off a tight shoe. Right? It's the easiest thing ever. And it's like this feeling. And if you've ever done 5-MeO DMT, I imagine you have. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, like it's one of those things that's qualitative in nature. I can't measure it or tell you specifically. It's something you have to experience yourself. And you can experience it by doing breath work. You just have to know where to go. And psychedelics can help with that, because now with breath work, I know where I can go with it. And I think that's one of the
combining both can be pretty fun too.
Definitely. That may or may not have been what we did in Austin. And it was funny, you know, for those listening, you know, I had done quite a few rounds, probably 50 rounds of breath work over the 5 days of this retreat with a buddy of mine there. And we had gone kind of far. It was like a fun little feeling, right? I'm like, interesting, right? And then so we're sitting with a medicine, and I have a beautiful ceremony I lead people through. And at the end, everyone was hugging, crying, just feeling connected. And I'm like, hey guys, let's try a round of this breathing together. I don't know what caused me to do this. I was like, we're all so connected. Let's try a round of breath work. And I had no idea that this was going to happen. And we do a round, and literally we all left our bodies. So this is like 25 people left our bodies. And I remember looking at you, and you came back in with your eyes wide, and you're like, dude, what the fuck? Right. And I knew, I'm like, all right, we got something good here. If Danny's shocked, all right, we got to keep doing this. So then we proceeded to do probably 20 more rounds. And I remember, you know, it was just an incredible experience. And that really changed my life. That was where I really got to have the firsthand direct experience that, hey, like I've always known that the laws around these things are complete bullshit, but realizing, no, actually we really do create this stuff in our body, right? Like I can read it on a scientific journal that yes, DMT is produced in the body, but having the direct experience and then realizing how many people are in jail for using something that's literally produced in our own body, it's wild, you know? And so that was a really interesting experience. And, you know, really one of the things I think is, or I believe is the biggest challenge in society is this whole, like this death principle, right? You know, if you look at society right now, we're prioritizing as a society, we're prioritizing safety over everything, right? Be safe, stay safe, right? Especially with the pandemic and all this stuff, right?
But so I have that rule, safety third.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, because think about it, right? If I asked you, hey, Danny, you can add 5 years onto your life right now, 100%, right? 5 years of living, but you can never see another human in person. You can never hug them. You can never go to a festival. You can never dance under the stars with another human. You can never hug them. You have to be alone, which, I mean, think about the relative factor to what's going on in society right now with the lack of connection, loneliness, which is the biggest epidemic, right? Would you say yes to that? Like, exactly, right? Because yeah, we're prioritizing safety, but at what cost? The experience of what life is actually supposed to be. We keep thinking that if we're safe enough, we're going to escape death. And that's a falsehood. That's never going to happen. The point of life is not to cheat death, right? The point of life is to live it, right? And that's one of the things that I feel
psychedelics. Accept it.
Exactly. Accept it and enjoy. Yeah, accept it and enjoy the ride, realizing that, yeah, maybe like, you know, the meat suit that you have will stay in this reality and it will feed the earth, right? With microbes and nutrients and everything. But at the end of the day, what we truly are lives on forever, right? And that's what I believe, right? And again, I know that's what you believe. And for anyone who doesn't believe it, cool, awesome. I still love you the same, right? Like, but that's my truth, right? And I feel that's one of the things that we've lost in tribal societies. And one of the things that psychedelics, if once again used properly, consciously, and responsibly, can reignite in people is realizing, oh man, like it's true. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, just reformed, right? And so that's something I wanted to mention. And this has been so fun, man, like getting to really like dive down all these rabbit holes with you. And you're someone I value so highly in terms of just being full of wisdom, right? And, you know, I see you as a big Buddha, you know, and it's just, you know, it oozes out of you, man, this guidance, this mentorship that you have. I mean, I was chatting with Danny beforehand. For any of you human design freaks out there, me and Danny are both 5-1 projectors. So game recognized game, you know. And, you know, it's something I noticed with projectors, especially 5-1, I should say, actually, that as soon as I meet a 5-1, I'm like, whoa, okay, cool. Like, I just immediately feel this sense of safety, right? This sense of like, oh, Danny's here, we're good. You know, you helped me feel more okay with the experience of being alive, man, you know, and it's such a beautiful journey we've got to go on here. And I'm so excited for all the other journeys we're going to get to go on. And man, you know,
we're just getting started.
Dude, as I say all the time, right? And I think I've said this to you. If we were in Lord of the Rings, we wouldn't have even left the Shire yet, right? Think about how much more journey is in us, right? Like, I'm so excited to see where this ship goes, man. And I'm so grateful for you. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, for those wanting to connect with you, where can I send them to learn more about you, talk with you, get some love from you, and share some laughs with you, man?
Yeah, you know, the place where my favorite place to support people is coaches in the fitness industry. You know, I'm a big believer that you can support others in the journeys that you've had full completions with. And so for me is, thestrongcoach.com, man. And that's where we help. A lot of what we talked about today, we're able to have that experience in this reality and create visions and do a lot of healing. And we support coaches in the fitness industry. It's really what, at the end of the day, is like we want to help them receive more money, have more freedom. But we do a lot more than that. For us to be able to access those things, it takes some deep work. Because you have to be different. And so for us to be different, we got to dive deep. And so, if any coaches out there, who are looking to, level up their game, that's the best place to find me, or, IG Danny Rios. It's a good place too. And if you come in, I'll say hello and we'll chat about all things. And, appreciate you, open up this space and this conversation. Because it's something that, you know, can be scary. It's the fear religion, can
culture
really,
of fear.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that, yeah, man, thank you for, being open and allowing this. You know, you said, I don't know if we said this in the podcast, but a year ago you were talking about this vision that you're living into now. And so to see somebody at like, talk about things and visualize things, like a lot of people talk. And so watching you actually like create that into this reality, and just how you show up in the world, man, with your big heart, big smile, man, it's it's everybody loves you, man. So thank you, man, for being you and doing this work that, it's needed. We have such a plant that now it's being more and more accepted. For me, cannabis was such a healing thing to have in my life, and it really allowed me to like slow down and notice early on. So yeah, man, thank you for stepping into that space. Don't know anybody else who would do it better. So
Big smile, Bobby. Big smile energy. You know, we got that big smile energy, bro. You know, it's Bubby energy, you know, and for those that don't know, now you know, and dude, you know, also I wanted to mention super quick, you know, I may be speaking out of turn here, but I'm going to make it a reality because I want it to be a reality sooner than later. You're coming up with a podcast, are you not? Is that still on the agenda? Are you still thinking about doing that? I know you're coming out, or you wanted to come up with your own podcast. So I'd love to pitch that and make it a reality even sooner if it's something you're still thinking of, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, part of this whole integrative approach of doing is like understanding when like the time to like put energy into those things and just surrendering to what life is bringing you, and things, those things will show up. But yeah, for me, it's something that I'm not like putting full energy into, but it's where my heart navigates like just naturally. So for me, that's where, you know, I gotta realize where I do have the most influence at the moment. And that's, putting my full energy into supporting coaches. That's what I know how to do best. And all this stuff naturally happens. Me and Mike were just talking about a few things of that nature, just yesterday. And so, yeah, it's things that will just happen like when they happen. And it's probably going to happen sooner than later.
I hope so.
But I mean, we're on a mission. You know, we're on a mission to heal the fitness industry, and we're very unreasonable on how we get those results. You know, whatever it takes to support others in their journeys. So yeah, it'll come, and you'll be on it, and
yes.
And it's going to be a good time. So yeah, that's definitely in the parking lot. Will soon be something we drive and move, but for now, yeah, the strong coaches is where I hang out, and invite other coaches to come have conversations. You know, you haven't been part of our program, but you hang out with enough of us.
Yes. I took the third door. You know, I was like, I'm just going to hang out with everyone constantly and just pick their brains. You know,
that's one of the best ways to do it is you want to learn from people, like go hang out with them and watch their being and share energy with them. And if you can go share a different space with them, like we have, yeah, the level of depth and connection that you could get from that is like beyond anything you can do via a Zoom call or a podcast. So
yes,
you're doing some good shit, Bubby.
Dude, likewise, bro.
You cracked some codes, man.
Call me the Matrix Breaker, you know. It's like, and
now you're the Matrix Creator.
Yes, guilty as charged. You know, so sue me, dude. You know, I have one last question for you. If you're up for it, my man, you up for it?
I'm up for it.
All right, dude, let's go for it. So, if someone listening was just swayed by you to experience psychedelic medicines for the first time, what piece of advice would you give them to allow them to have the smoothest experience possible?
It's to not do it alone. You know, it's doing it with somebody that you trust and that's hopefully referred. You hear a lot of people in this space that, you know, take advantage of the situation. And so lean into others who have been down that path and learn from them. So get yourself a coach.
Yes.
So if you ever have, just general, anything in life, don't do it alone. Ask others for support. It's much, much harder to do it on your own. So definitely seek out support. Don't do it alone. And there's a lot of people doing it, and there's a lot of people who are doing it a lot better than others that are going to help you get better results. So do your research. And if you don't have access to it, do your best to listen to your heart and what is it's calling you to do, and to what medicines to work with or who to sit with. Yeah. And I'm always referring people to people. Like this is a very expansive space where if somebody comes to me and they're like interested in this kind of stuff, I tell them where to go or who to work with. And I think that's how it should be. You know, it's I know I'm not equipped to serve everybody. Like I could do, like obviously men, it's what come to me to work with them. But yeah, it's like I said, everybody has their own approach. Do your research, like understand the negative aspects of it. And that if you are in a healthy space to go through these experiences, but then I would even go as start with like something like cannabis, start with cacao, start with hopi, things that are where you can start dabbling into the plant medicine space without, you know, having this super crazy experience and learn how to be with these things. And like for me, I teach people first ceremony before I teach them like go through a plant medicine experience with them, because now they understand like what a ceremony is. I do that through like hopi maybe and seven site prayer. Like this is just a ceremony, you know, is what we're doing. So yeah. Follow your heart when you let that navigate with who you work with. Don't do it alone. Like when I work with people one-on-one, I bring in a therapist and I bring in a woman to help balance out the masculine and feminine energy. It's just what feels right. I can do a whole different ceremony like that, you know, like than what I could do on my own. So yeah, do your research and follow your heart.
I love it, man. Spoken like a true wisdom seeker, you know, and a true wisdom person. And guys, the first time I met Danny was last August at a mutual friend's lake house, and we hit it off immediately. His big heart, passion for life, and connection with the world around him inspired me to ask myself deeper questions and ultimately led me to discover so much more about myself. 2 months later, we were in Mexico together, sitting with sacred plant teachers and literally having the adventure of a lifetime. And it became immediately apparent to me that Danny and I had known each other in many lifetimes before this one. Danny is one of those people that will brighten up any room he walks into and wake up any heart he connects with. And if you are curious about diving deeper into your purpose, your heart, or for more information regarding plant teachers, reach out to Danny and see for yourself why he earned the nickname Big Bubby. Also, this show is a very new venture for me, and my goal is to spread awareness of these medicines to the world at large so people can make well-informed decisions on whether or not they are right for them. And by sharing this show and leaving reviews on iTunes, you are not simply helping me, but are also helping the plants as well as every person who benefits from the show in discovering it, to which I am eternally grateful for. Danny, my soul brother, thank you so much for the work you do, for being such an inspiration in my life, and most importantly, for being you. And until next time, may your journey be smooth and full of love. Aho.